Welcome to Business Watch. Well, the issue of tariffs was thrown into stark relief recently when the DTIC failed to extend tariffs on chicken imports as food costs rise. And it's interesting to note, against the backdrop of a recent tariff application by the SA Tire Manufacturers Conference, the SATMC, to ITAC for the imposition of additional duties on tires imported from China. No doubt this will concern every South African motorist and the taxi, bus and trucking and freight forwarding sectors, which could be hard hit if additional duties are imposed on imported tyres. The four large domestic tyre producers, Continental, Bridgestone, Goodyear and Sumitomo, collectively known as the SA Tyre Manufacturers Conference, maintain that its application to investigate the unfair trade caused by dumped imports of passenger, truck and bus tyres imported from China is only part of a sustained effort to rescue the local tyre industry and the livelihoods dependent upon it. SATMC was invited to participate on this panel but declined. I'm joined now by Charles de Villiers, chairperson of the Tire Importers Association of South Africa, and Donald Mackay, CEO and founder of XA International Trade Advisors. Donald, let's perhaps set the scene here first. And we know that China has this propensity to dump and undercut even competitive industries. We know in steel, for example, it's a big issue. Is it the same with tyres? What do we see when it comes to the global tyre picture and how countries look to approach this issue?
Yes, there is a mixture. If we have a look, for example, in the EU, they had imposed anti-dumping duties. That was challenged in court by the Producer Association in China, and following that case, those duties have actually been removed. So it is a bit of a mixture. I don't think quite the same situation exists on tyres as does with steel, which does have a huge subsidy component to it. So it is a little bit different to what we're dealing with tyres. But sure, the SATMC have brought the case, and we are responding to it.
Well, what is the thrust of the SATMC's case here, Charles? What are they arguing in terms of their application to ITAC to justify the imposition of tariffs? Is this dumping?
Well, they're claiming that, Michael. And the second point they say is that it's to protect the jobs in South Africa. We don't believe dumping is taking place to the level that they say it's taking place. And the jobs, again, all jobs matter. Our members themselves employ more than 3,000 direct jobs in their businesses. And if we have to break that down further in the value chain, we also, the value chain relies on imports to about 55%. If I take the share of market between the two industries or the two associations, importers make up 55% of the local market and 45% is the local manufacturers. So we are serious about job creation. That's why we're disputing their claim that it's not a valid claim, and we'll be taking it further.
And I was having a look at what Duduza Chala, the managing executive of the SATMC, says here, Donald, and he says, and I just want to quote this, the SATMC is not against healthy trade and competition at fair prices, but rather against tyres designed and manufactured in China that are imported unfairly into South Africa at unsustainable rock-bottom rates. What is unfair or unsustainable about the import of these tyres?
Yes, that's a question which is unfortunate the SATMC is not here to answer. So I'm not quite sure what his comment means, but let me take a swing at it. So here's what we do know. We do know that the producers who brought this application are themselves material importers of tyres. We know, in fact, that Goodyear China opposed Goodyear South African part of the application for anti-dumping duties. So that, one must assume, was an awkward Christmas dinner when they realized that they were on opposite sides of the same case. So the answer is we don't entirely know what they're claiming, except that they're saying the products are dumped and that the dumped products are causing the industry material injury. And that's about as much as we have. They've been very cagey about proper reasons for their action.
And just, I mean, if we step back for a second, what needs to be proven at an ITAC or kind of World Trade Organization level to prove dumping? I mean, what do they have to prove here, rather than, you know, just being unable to compete against competitive imports?
Yeah, so there are three components, all of which have to be met in order to impose a duty. So the first is dumping, and dumping is you sell a product into a foreign market cheaper than you sell in your home market. So if you sell a tire for 100 in China and you export it for 80, the difference, that 20, would be the margin of dumping, and a potential anti-dumping duty would be 20 over 80, which would give you 25%. But that's just the first component. The second component is there has to be material injury suffered by the domestic industry. And the third component is the injury must be caused by the dumping and not by anything else. And it's on the dumping allegation has been dealt with by the Chinese producers. They've made submissions to ITAC. We don't yet have the outcome. But on the causality, it is problematic because the domestic industry imports such very large quantities and varieties of their own tires, and not necessarily from China, but just are importing it. We have to say, why are they doing that if they're perfectly able to supply the market, which they also argue that they're able to do. So it's an extremely unusual case. Mm. I might also add, Michael, a number of years ago, they brought a similar application, and that application was declined by ITAC in large part because the domestic industry were such large importers themselves. So this is not their first time around attempting this.
Yes, but perhaps they weren't dealing with Captain Tariff back then, as Peter Bruce has referred to Trade, Industry and Competition Minister Ibrahim Patel, who has certainly made this a fulcrum of his master plan strategy. And I guess, you know, one will have to wait and see how this pans out. Also, given what has happened to the poultry sector and the minister's decision to withdraw tariff protection to local poultry producers in the face of rising food prices. But I want to come back here, Charles, because we're speculating on that a lot, on why you as an importer import, you know, what is the strategic rationale and you know, why, in your view, could we not do this at a similar level locally?
Well, Michael, a few years ago when the local car manufacturers started rationalizing their production lineups in South Africa, not only South Africa, but worldwide, the need to produce all the different models of tires in your plant or in your country stopped. So the need wasn't there for them to have this massive range, so they rationalized their range, and they basically exported a certain few sizes to other factories within their channel and started relying on that. So currently, as we are today, the local manufacturers are not in a position to supply the local demand of the South African economy. So there is a definite need for imported products into South Africa. So we're saying that by imposing this additional duty, they were not in a position to simply flick a switch and start producing all the sizes that they are importing today in their factories. That's simply not going to happen, and it won't translate into more jobs. They're simply going to move from a more expensive or from a more cost-effective market like China into a more costly market, most probably like Europe. And so that is essentially the nub of the thing, is that there is no capacity in South Africa by the local manufacturers to take up what the market demands.
And ultimately, what does that mean for the end user here? If you're just a regular consumer replacing the tires on your car in your garage, or if you're a taxi operator, or if you've got a fleet as a freight forwarder, what does this mean in terms of increased cost of tires?
Well, we've done some modeling, and based on what they're asking, if we look at, we start at the small consumer tires, we're looking at about a 38 to a 40% increase. 14, 15 inch tires and 17 inch tires, you're looking around about a 17 to 80% increase. And then if you look at the taxi industry, they will be the hardest hit. That's 41% straight to the cost of the tire. And that'll have to be passed on to the consumer. So, I mean, already the poorest household, they're paying 55% of their income on public transport. Now, just imagine if the cost of tires go up by 41%, what will that translate into, you know, for them? Mm-hmm. If you look at the transport sector, there we're looking at about a 17 to 18% increase. And, you know, Gavin Kelly from the Road Freight Association did some numbers, and he came back and said, you know, that'll translate into about a 6 to 6.5% increase in the operating cost of a fleet. Now, bearing in mind that everything is moved by road today due to our rail infrastructure not functioning properly, food, medicine, people. So the knock-on effect at the end of the day is going to go straight through to the consumer. Businesses simply cannot absorb this, unfortunately.
Yeah, and feeding in an already inflationary environment. Has any research been done, as far as you're aware, Donald, of, you know, the kind of cost-benefit analysis, you know, the benefit of supporting maybe, according to the SATMC's numbers, 19,000 people employed in the local manufacturing of these tyres versus the cost broadly to the various consumers, stakeholders that Charles has just mentioned? Has anyone done any research on that?
Yeah, so firstly, the employment numbers that they've given, I don't believe actually relate just to their manufacturing, which we suspect is quite a bit lower. But that would include things like their retail outlets, etc. Without debating too much the job numbers they've given, the nub of the question comes down to, is it better to get the consumer to fund the shareholders of these four companies plus the staff that work there? Or is it better for the consumer to have more cash in their pocket to distribute on other things, education, food, etc.? So, of course, government's policy at the moment is to rather tax the consumer and pass those benefits along to producers. That argument might hold in many other sectors, but it doesn't hold up well here simply because the domestic industry themselves are such large importers. In other words, all of this doesn't translate to more jobs. It merely translates to a change in where the products are sourced from. And we should also remember these four producers have operations all over the world. They're not just sitting in South Africa. So their ability to switch to another source is probably not too difficult. I'm not sure if that's helpful. Mm. We haven't done an actual cost benefits analysis of each. Except to say this is what the cost would be.
Yeah, and you know, Charles, coming back to you, you know, clearly if we are to increase the cost of transport, increase the cost of goods, you know, and take money out of consumers' pockets to effectively subsidize this industry, it's not going to find a great deal of popular support. What kind of interactions have you had as the Tyre Importers Association with the SATMC to try and find some middle ground outside of an ITAC application?
Well, we've tried to mediate on this specific case to try and understand their case a bit better. That was one section of it. The other part we did interact with them was on illicit trade, where we actually established a forum to try and clean up the industry, which I think is in every industry you'll have an element of that. And so we were the instigators of setting up such a forum, approaching government to try and clean up industry. I believe that they're using the wrong mechanism to try and get additional protection. So, you know, our door is open. We welcome any joint efforts to work together with the SATMC, and we in fact do work together on other forums on waste with them as well.
I want to come back to that issue on the illicit trade, and I think it happens everywhere, in every sector, doesn't it, Donald? The fact that, you know, a big issue is that there is a lot of product potentially coming into the local market that's getting through customs, it's not being declared, and it's not being picked up properly. What could be done to better strengthen that kind of oversight to ensure that we clamp down and reduce the volume of illicit trade into the country before we go the tariff route?
Yeah, so I mean, that's not a trivial problem to solve, in part because our ports are running beyond their capacity, Durban particularly. So a very small percentage, for example, of cargo going through Durban has a physical inspection. which means if you were to roll the dice, you can come up successful quite a lot of times before you're likely to be caught. The other part of the challenge is that under the stewardship of Tom Ayani a couple of years ago, many of SARS's best data analysts, looking at things like customs, statistical patterns, left. So we have a drop in the skill level, although I must say SARS are working hard to try to resolve that. But it's become overwhelming because, of course, predictably, as we push duties up, which have been moving up steadily and quite steeply in the last few years, every increase creates an incentive for someone to circumvent, and SARS's capacity is simply not growing at the same pace. Mm. It is a very big problem.
And in terms of certainty, I want to stay on that with you for a while longer, Donald, because what we saw in the poultry sector yesterday took a lot of executives who have grown accustomed to that tariff protection from dumping. And I think it's fair to say in the poultry sector there is compelling evidence that there is dumping of brown meat into the local market. With that being removed at a kind of ministerial whim, it creates a great deal of uncertainty, doesn't it? It's very difficult to read into what's going on in Mr. Patel's mind at the moment.
It is indeed a mysterious space. We have requested a copy of the report in that case, which right now ITAC seems quite reluctant to release. So we don't know entirely what the reasons were. What we do know, which is a very important and interesting development, this is the first case where there appears to have been an assessment of public interest. And perhaps put slightly differently, it's the first time where quite explicitly the minister has started considering that there is a real cost to imposing these duties. As to how it's been done, it's the first time in ITAC's history, to the best of my knowledge, and they've been around for 19 years, where something like this has ever occurred. So we don't know, and we hope that ITAC soon hands over the record so we can answer that question a little better.
Yeah, that's, I mean, honestly, in the process of just administrative action, PAJA, and all of those kinds of things, good governance, it's truly bizarre to have seen it just slipped into the Government Gazette the way it was. If someone wasn't scanning it fastidiously, we would never have known. Charles, just as we conclude and looking at a way forward here, what are the timelines in terms of the application and what happens next?
Well, ITAC's in the process of evaluating both producers' and importers' submissions. They, like Donald, I don't know if Donald mentioned it, but it's the biggest application or submission of importers and manufacturers in the history of ITAC. So I think they're under pressure to get the work done. We don't know exactly when they will make a preliminary decision. It was published on the 31st of January, so from there they have 18 months to finalize the investigation. So, you know, it can happen in the next month or two where they make a preliminary decision, and then from there they have 6 months to finalize that. So, you know, we've got no more information than that, unless Donald's got more, and he's talking to ITAC on a more regular basis. But that's the information I have, and as far as timelines are concerned.
All is quiet at ITAC.
I'm sure it is, but clearly what happened in the poultry sector will have a bearing in this case from a public interest perspective, and it's something we also don't talk enough about. We wanted to move to an environment where we had socio-economic impact assessments, where we had evidence-based policy making, and what we really need to do is see some kind of consistency applied across the board, because we can't move from, you know, well, it's good for industry and bad for the broader public, to now all of a sudden it's good for the broader public and bad for a certain sector. There's this flip-flopping and uncertainty.
Yeah, it's not good. Things have become extremely unpredictable over the last 2 to 3 years, and the unpredictability, irrespective of which direction things go, is certainly not good for investment. No investor wants an unpleasant surprise. And so I do think it is harmful. We like to see a little more predictability in the process. But I do think the decision on chicken will have implications on other sectors, particularly consumer-facing products. And as you've said, if it's not good to inflate the price of chicken, then is it any better to inflate the price of tigers?
Well, that's really where the rubber hits the road. We're going to have to leave it with Donald Mackay of XA Trade Advisors, who is joined by Charles de Villiers, chairperson of the Tyre Importers Association of South Africa, talking about this issue of dumping of tyres in the South African market. And it'll be very interesting to see that ITAC preliminary report when it is released. You've been watching Business Watch on Business Day TV.